Please turn with me now to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretched out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound, that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys, which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth. They gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. If thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, and they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die, and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I'll be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. We know that God will add his own blessing to this reading of his word for his name's sake. Let's bow before him now, please, in prayer. Our loving Father, we have read in this psalm of the wonder and splendor of thy creative power, of how that you take care of the animals, the beasts, the large, the medium, the small, and how that all things are working together according to your overseeing providential plan. Dear Father, I pray that as we settle ourselves now in thy presence with the word of God open, that the scripture will be a lamp to our feet and a light to our spiritual pathway, that we will walk, Lord, before thee in humility, and that, Lord, thy grace and power and glory would be revealed in us and through us day by day. Dear Lord, encourage our hearts this morning. Lift up our souls, we pray, we might be filled with a spirit of thanksgiving. We pray that the Lord Jesus will be magnified before us today. We ask, dear Father, that he will be honored and glorified in each one of us, and that this new year will be a year for us of great spiritual advancement. So, Father, hear our prayers now. Be with us and bless us. We ask these things in our Savior's worthy name. Amen. Verse 31, please let me draw your attention to in this 104th Psalm. Verse 31 is the text that the Lord has placed upon my soul for us as a motto text of this year. It comes to us in two parts, as I have already mentioned, and we will be dealing this morning with the first half of this verse. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. You know, as we launch out into a new year, there are items we would like to forget, or at least not to relive, about the past year, and maybe the past few years, depending on your life circumstances. And yet we have hopeful aspirations for the future with a turn of a new season, and in this sense, the turn of a calendar year. It is for us a time of reflection, a time of thinking and rethinking. And while some resolutions can be good, let us try to make godly ones and pray over them as we make them. Other resolutions that we make, well, they come and they go. Some are good, and other times we have to say, well, they have been made with good intentions, but that's about as far as they go. And so we think about resolutions to be made before the Lord, and we pray over them and say, oh God, make this year, as we have done so in our opening prayer, a year of devoted service to Christ, a year whereby we will give ourselves and renew our dedication to the Lord in a very signal and specific way. The Lord has placed this subject upon my heart, I believe, as I sought him and his mind for this thought and theme for the new year, and it is the glory of God. You know, it was not a mistake when the men who authored the Westminster Confession of Faith and our shorter catechism, when they asked this question, what is man's chief end? And the simple answer, yet its profound teaching, is that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And we will experience the reality of that in the saving grace and power that Christ has given to us. And we know Him in faith and by salvation. And therefore, not only on this earth and in time are we saved, but we will glory and rejoice in Him for all eternity. We will enjoy God forever and forever. The Lord, the living God, He is the one that is worthy and deserving of all the glory that His creatures are able to give to Him. We cannot, my friend, ever exhaust our ability. We cannot exhaust our means of bringing honor to the Lord's name. But by our own frail humanness, we fall very far short. And the God that is presented to us in this psalm and in the entire canon of Scripture is the God that possesses all the worth and the majesty of His being. And He alone is worthy of all the worship and of all the praise that any human, and in fact every human, is obligated to give to Him. Every creation. One minister that I listened to put it this way: Sola Dea Gloria, to the glory of God alone, was the flagship of the Protestant Reformation. And every doctrine and work was to be believed and done with this purpose alone. For my friends, when other motives creep into the Christian life or the Christian church, pride will undermine the unity of believers, and it will stop the forward purpose of the cause of Christ among us. If we are engaged in the Lord's work in our Christian life for any other purpose but to glorify our God in heaven, then we are faulty, and all of our attempts will end up to be empty. I say to you this morning that if each one of us recognize and resolve to live this year in all that we do to the glory of God, it will be, and I emphasize that, it will be a year of spiritual advancement in the face of satanic attack. Because we would not be naive enough to think that this year, though we have launched upon it with great expectations, will not be a year that is also attended with great attack from the evil one. Prepare yourself for it, believer. Prepare it for yourself in your own Christian life. Prepare for it in your own family. Prepare for it in the congregation. But I would say to you that if we come and devote ourselves and say, Lord, I want this year in my heart and my family and this church to be one for the glory of God alone, the Lord will answer that prayer that is prayed with all humility and honesty before Him. And so therefore I want today, we look at this verse, we will think of the glory of God that will endure forever. But we have to ask ourselves a question, rather a basic one. What is the glory of God? In order to answer that, we really are asking a question, well, what is the glory of anything? And how do you begin to define what that glory is? Let me give you this definition. The glory of something or of anything is its entire worth, measured by its purpose, its function or usefulness, its beauty or attractiveness, and its complete value. So when we are going to look at something and try to understand its glory, there are some objects that have more glory than others, some have less. In order to help us we maybe can think of a few simple illustrations. I have a simple ballpoint pen here. I don't know the brand name of it, but it's a very basic plastic shell. It ink, it has a roller pen on, it's very simple. It has a purpose. It was made for a purpose to be a writing instrument. It was made so that you could take notes, you could write down whatever you have to write down, and as long as it does its job effectively and for a period of time, you could say that there is an element of glory that's connected with this pen because of its inherent worth or value. I have another pen here that is a gold-plated pen. At least that's what someone told me it was anyways. I don't know, maybe it's not made, maybe it's fool's gold. Anyways, it looks nice and shiny. And it is also a writing instrument that has been made for a purpose of communicating your thoughts from your head down to the paper. And so it has functionality. But we would say that the glory of this gold pen is more than this one, although sometimes in many of the aspects they have a similarity for their purpose. And yet the mechanism that's on the inside of it, the way the pen moves to extend the writing ball, the filler, and all parts of it, well, it costs a lot more to make that pen than it does to make this pen. These are mass-produced, and these pens perhaps are more custom-made. There's actually an engraving on the side of this pen. And so there are many aspects of it. This pen has more glory than this one by the nature of its very properties and principles. If you were to look at a child's watch, a toy watch, that even works and it can tell the time, maybe not so accurately, but nonetheless it tells the time, and yet you would compare that to a diamond-studded Rolex, you would say the glory of the one is greater than the other, though they both have a similar functionality of trying to tell the time. And you move that illustration into many other areas. You have all seen an ultra-light airplane, one that's usually a single or a double-seater, and it has a small motor overhead with a propeller, and it has cloth wings on it. It's meant for just very light use. You compare an ultralight airplane to a stealth bomber, and you can see that the glory of one is greater than the glory of the other, though they both are able to fly. When we compare the very things in creation of the sun, which God has said is the greater light to rule the day, and the moon is the lesser light to rule the night. And so the sun, by its very nature and the energy that comes from it, has more glory than the moon that only reflects the light of the sun. We think about the animal world a bit farther. The majesty of a bald eagle has more glory than a sparrow, though both are from the bird kingdom. And yet you take that a little farther, a sparrow has more glory than a mosquito. And you look at all the levels of creation, and you would say that, yes, a lion would have more glory than a domestic cat, and a great whale than a small goldfish. We bring that into the comparison of man. And you see that man is the highest creation that God made. And man has more glory than the animal kingdom, more glory than monkeys, more glory than any other of the created beings, because God has invested different levels or elements of glory in the things that we see around us. And yet, my friend, when you and I try to understand the glory of God, it is really beyond our capacity of definition. For if it is His entire worth, measured by His purpose or His function and usefulness and His beauty and the total value of who He is, all of the totality of His attributes that project the greatness of God, we are at a loss to properly describe. The only thing that you and I can say, friend, today is great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. and all that we can know about the Lord. He has told us that His glory is revealed in His nature, in His holy attributes, in the written Word, and in the created Word that is around us. And so that in Psalm 104, that is a psalm about creation, it comes down to the end in conclusion. In our verse, it tells us that the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. Now keep in mind, we're still thinking about this question, what is the glory of God? How do we define this? And because we're told in our verse that the glory of the Lord shall endure forever, that tells me that His glory is eternal. Now, that's not really any surprise to us, because God Himself is eternal, and He is from everlasting to everlasting, and so the glory of God will emanate from Him continually, and it will never fade. So not only is the glory of God eternal, but it is unchanging. It is the fadeless glory of God. It can never tarnish. It can never dull. It can never wear away. It doesn't discolor. The hymn writer said these words about youth and beauty passing away. And you're looking up at an example of that today. And I'm looking down at a few examples myself of youth and beauty that has passed away. But my dear friend, the glory of God will never pass away. It is His eternal glory and His unchangeable glory that endures forever. And I would say, my friend, that the radiant splendor that flows from the holiness and the power and the majesty and the mercy and the love of God, and all of these things that are given to us by way of definition for His greatness and His honor, let us today say before God, Lord, I want to cultivate high views of the living God. I want to cultivate high views of the holiness of God that created the heavens and the earth, the God of eternity. Because when we have exhausted the praise of 1,000 generations, we will not have begun to scratch the surface of defining the glory of our God. We say, as David did in Psalm 8, verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Let us ask, secondly, where is the glory of God specifically seen? Where is the glory of God seen? Well, we can learn from not only Psalm 104, but also Psalm 19, where it shows us that the glory of God is revealed in creation, or by His creative power. Psalm 19 tells us, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You know, this is the very first reference in all the Bible to that phrase, the glory of God. And so when we're confronted by it and the presentation of it, of all of creation is given, well, we must stand back and say, oh God, how great is Thy creative genius. On this picture that I've prepared for you for the motto text, to be adhered or stuck to your fridge or wherever you want to put it, there is a picture in the background of the Sombrero Galaxy. And the Sombrero Galaxy is estimated to be 50,000 light years in diameter. 50,000 light years. And we know that a light year is the amount of distance that light travels at 186,000 miles per second, the amount of distance that light travels in 1 year. That's called a light year. So we're talking about distances that are beyond our ability to really comprehend. And so the Sombrero Galaxy is estimated to be 50,000 light years, and they don't have really much idea of how many stars are in that galaxy. They're just saying several hundreds of billions of stars in that particular galaxy. Proverbs tells us, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. And you know, we look up into the heavens at nighttime and you see the stars that are there. You cannot really discern the galaxies apart. Maybe you'll see the Milky Way, our own galaxy, in the way it's clouded in some of the ways you can see it. But beyond that, you cannot see with the natural eye these great wonders that God has created. And so to man, in his natural capacity, what has God done? It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. He tells us in Genesis that he made the stars also. And so, friend, it's not until God has advanced by technology for man to be able to look through telescopes, and you go out into the outside, the atmosphere with the Hubble telescope, able to send back images of outer space, of deep space. That's how we are able to see these things today. And the glory of God is seen in all these splendors, the wonders, the beauty of them. But it's not just the giant wonders looking out into the universe that we see the glory of God. Let me say to you, is it not seen in the very humble ladybug? Is the glory of God not seen in the very complex structures of the DNA molecule? Is the glory of God not seen by only the most powerful of microscopes that you can view in to see the order and the structure of all that our great God has made? Oh, my dear friends, these things are wonders for us because the glory of God is seen in creation by His almighty power. But that is only the beginning. Because when we come down to ask the question, where is the centrality of the glory of God seen? My dear friend, it is seen through and in the person and the work of our great Redeemer. It is seen in Jesus Christ Himself. For God the Father hath chosen to reveal His glory in His only begotten Son. And John records for us in John 1:14, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And many think that John was referring to the time of the Mount of Transfiguration when they, Peter and him, James and John, saw something of the revealed glory of the Savior as He talked with Moses and Elias. In John 1 and verse 10, we are told that He, that is Christ, was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and yet the world knew Him not. In Colossians 1 verse 17, we are told, and He is before all things, and by Him, that is Christ, all things consist. I love Psalm 24 because it is a messianic psalm and believe that it is the picture of the Savior returning from after His resurrection. And these words are given at the last of Psalm 24. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong in battle, the Lord of hosts, the King of glory. This is the definition that the Father and the Spirit have given to us of the only begotten Son. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is saying to the people there, who none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And again, we are told by James in his book, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, comma, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." And so these two different authors, and many times through the New Testament, the Lord is presented to us in all His splendor and wonder as the King of kings and Lord of lords and the King of glory. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, we have perhaps one of the greatest New Testament references there. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," speaking and referring to creation, "hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so all the glory that God has poured out to reveal to this sinful world, He has done so through His only begotten Son. And we will look in the face of Christ by faith, and what will we see but the glory and the splendor and the majesty and the holiness and the grace and the love of God? It is all combined there. It is, my friend, in the person and work of Jesus that there the greatest expression of God's glory to a sinful world is given. And nowhere is that more clearly seen than in the goriness of the cross. Yes, you think that's hardly a place for the glory of God to be seen, is it? But my dear friend, it is there that you will behold the wonder of God's glory revealed to man as Christ hung and suffered and died there in our place. And so, friend, if you reject the cross today, you reject God's glory. If you reject the only begotten Son of God, you reject the glory that God has revealed to this lost and sinful world. Oh, friends, let us guard our hearts and our minds against small views of God. How we must confess to the Lord we have failed in such a puny estimation that we have of Him so often. But if we behold the wonder and the splendor of our great Redeemer, and we see all that God has revealed through Him, then we will be ushered into that very place of seeing God Himself. Moses prayed, "Lord, show me Thy glory." And God said to him, "Virtually, you cannot see My face. For that glory that emanates from My face would consume you in an instant." And so God covered Moses in the cleft of the rock, and He passed by him and allowed him to see just, if we could even comprehend this, the hinder parts of the glory of God, the trail of that. And when Moses communed with the Lord in the top of the mount, his face shone with the presence of the Lord. And so much so that when he came down to the people of Israel, they said, "You must put a veil upon your face because we cannot look upon you. It is too much for us to behold." And they did not want to see God revealing His might and power at Sinai anymore, but they rather said, "Moses, you go and appear for us." And that very fact of Moses veiling his glory is used as a doctrinal argument in the New Testament. My friends, you and I, we say to the Lord, "Show us more of our Savior." Where will we see the glory of Jesus, the glory of God? Where will we see that? We will behold it, friend, from the Scripture. The more we know of what He did and how He lived and what He said and how He behaved, and we pray that that truth will be so ingrained in our heart, we will learn more of Him. For the more we learn of Him, the more we know of our Father's glory in heaven. Let me conclude finally, thirdly, by asking this question in light of what we have trying to do in defining the glory of God and seeing where is it seen. How can my life be lived to the glory of God? How can your life today be able to do that? I will say to you, first of all, it must be by confession and repentance and faith. It's not a mistake that Romans 3 verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the great standard of His holiness, and we have all fallen short of it by our sin. And so therefore the only answer for us, first of all, to say how can I live to the glory of God, is that I might come in humble faith and repentance and say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Let me take the wonderful gift of salvation and let me receive it with joy. Have you received it, my friend? Do you know Him as your own? You're listening online today, and I don't know who you are. I don't know the state of your heart. I only say to you that Christ is a great Savior, and He is willing this day to come and to change your life. He is willing to come and abide within you. And that's how you will begin to allow His majesty to shine forth in your life by receiving Him as Savior. But it will also be with a desire to live constantly in the light of His glory. How can a Christian do that? Paul answers this question for us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. He says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And so here was the practical way that you and I as Christians, saved by the grace of God, are to live each day by what we do in the simple things of our life, eating and drinking. That's why it's such an important thing that we do not neglect or take for granted the provision God has blessed us with, but we are to thank God for our meal. We are to thank the Lord for the provision of our food, our clothing, our shelter. And in the very act of our thanking Him and receiving it with praise, we are living to the glory of God. Remember the flagship statement of the Reformation, sola dea gloria, to the glory of God alone. And so, friend, when you ask yourself a question in life, what am I doing? Am I living to His glory? The things that I am watching, the places I am going, the company that I am keeping, the activities I'm involved in, those things need to be assessed in this way, because in so doing, God has told us that we will be able to live to His glory. But it's also a willingness to see life's events in the light of God's purpose and for His glory. This is a very important thing that I'm saying to you, because there is a great example that we have, and I'd like you to turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11 and verse 4. It says, when Jesus heard, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And so you're not going to miss those two words there, the references to God's glory. The story here before us is that of Lazarus, a loved friend, one whom was a child of God. Mary, Martha, Lazarus all lived in the house in Bethany. Jesus frequented their home. But when the word came to the Lord that Lazarus was sick and the sickness was indeed unto death, Jesus, we are told, abode yet 2 days. In other words, He stalled out. He delayed His approach to the place of Bethany in the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Why? Because He was giving time for Lazarus to die. Friends, what we're thinking about here is you and I observing life's events and being able to see them in the light of God's purpose and for His eternal glory. Jesus was saying to His disciples, I am delaying because I want you to believe in me. This delay that I am giving you right now is for the glory of God, that you will see God's glory revealed in Christ Himself. And so when the Lord finally does come, and Martha runs out to meet Him, and she is distressed because, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. She believed, but there was a limitation of her faith at that moment. And when Jesus spoke those words, Lazarus, come forth from the grave, and he rose from the dead, and he had his grave clothes loosened from him, and all around were amazed and marveled that this one, dead 4 days, was now raised to life again, and all glory was now shining upon the Lord Jesus at that point. Friend, the question comes to us, what about the delays that God is doing in our lives now? What about the delay in your life for what you've been seeking the Lord for? What about the delay in delivering you from that great challenge and trial? Can you acknowledge and say, I want God to be glorified in my life? I want the Lord to be glorified through me, and I'm prepared to submit myself to His providential purpose, timing, and plan. Because if we are at that point, friend, you know what's going on in us? The Lord is glorified in our life. The Savior is being exalted. And that's what God is doing in us and what He's doing through us. In John 11:40, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Yes, faith has to be motivated by the Lord so often, doesn't it? Has to be held up. There are so many painful events that make up our lives. And yet when we submit to God's way and path, He will be honored in us and through us. So let us say with renewed dedication this morning that the sum total of our lives will be to the glory of God alone, and that we will and may enjoy Him forever. There is no other reason for living, friend. There is no other reason for living. There will be no other purpose in heaven but that we can live to our God, Father, Son, and Spirit. For the glory of God shall endure forever. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Lord, I pray that this verse of Scripture and the truth it contains would not evaporate from our minds. Lord, it might please Thee to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. Lord, hear us now and be praised and be glorified in us and do according to Thy sovereign providential will. Lord, hear us now, we ask in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn closing. Number 16, please. Certainly fitting for us now. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. Friend, if you're not able to stay for communion service this morning, please feel free to leave after the singing of the first verse. Let's stand, please. Thank you. Thank you very much. Brother, would you folks please come to the front over here? Thank you so much. That'd be great. Please be seated. Thank you so much. Let me ask you to turn now in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. As you have your Bibles open there, we just pause for a moment. It is a great joy and an honor for us to welcome two new members into our congregation. We have known our brother Andre Lyons for many years. I have known him for many years before any of you really knew him, from the work in Little London in Jamaica. And we're very happy that he and his wife, Lorraine, are going to be joining us in membership in our congregation here. Of course, you know well the congregation, the history, the sad history connected with our sister, Lorraine Morris. And it has been a burden and a problem over the years of great distress, in the sense of losing a loved one, as she lost her husband, Brian, many years ago. But God makes no mistakes, and in that event, and the things that occurred out of that, led Lorraine to come to Canada, and then Andre, some time after that, And they were married here in our own church a couple of years ago. And we rejoice with them that God has moved them to join us officially in the congregation. So in one sense, they have been with us, but now they are making that official. And we are thankful for that. So our brother, we welcome you, give you the right hand of fellowship into our congregation. We pray the Lord would bless you and watch over you and your family. And we're thankful that you're with us, and we pray that God will richly bless you. And Lorraine, we praise God for you and thank you, and pray that he will bless you and your family and your children. The boys, are they downstairs? And Brianda? Downstairs, okay. Well, we will remember your family also very much before the Lord in prayer. We're going to read now in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and we'll start, please, at verse number 4. Reading down to 19. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail before him because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. We know the Lord will bless his word, a portion of Scripture that is so exalting of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his work that he has come to do, Who could have missed the blessing that we read in verse 5? Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. An argument is given here very clearly for the wonderful deity of the Lord Jesus. For he declared in verse 18 that I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Our Savior lives today in the power of an endless life. He is the first begotten from the dead, the first to rise from the dead, to die no more. We come this day to worship, to give thanks to the Lord for what he has done for us. We acknowledge that all of the work of Calvary was a work of God's love to undeserving sinners. And friend, today you are saved by his grace. You have been washed in his own precious blood. Today we have cause for thanksgiving. And so as we still ourselves around this table, these very simple elements of bread and of juice, that we might eat and drink to the glory of God, that we might remember his death in the very way in which he has given to us. Hear our prayers, we ask, Lord, receive our thanksgiving for this good thing that thou hast done for us. Let's wait now before the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask our brother Fraser if he'll give thanks now for the cup that reminds us of the Lord's precious shed blood.
O Lord our God, we have before us the emblems of thy broken body and thy shed blood. And we give thanks, Lord, for the blessing that is ours of having this remembrance feast of what thou hast done for these souls of ours, in that thou who art the holy God, the one who art glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders, didst condescend to take human flesh and yes. become one of us, Amen. That we might be forgiven of our sins, that we might be washed in that precious blood. Lord, we thank thee for the body of Christ and for the humanity of Christ, our Lord, and for the perfection of his righteousness, which is ours by faith. Lord, we pray that each one of us might lay hold on the provisions set before us in the gospel as it is displayed before us in the bread and in the wine. Lord, help us to remember that here we have no continuing city. May we be among those who remember thy death as thou hast commanded us. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst forgive graciously our sin and help us to eat and to drink to thy glory. We pray this in our Savior's precious name. Amen.
Take and eat. As we continue in prayer and the thanksgiving, ask our brother Robinson to give thanks for the cup that reminds us of the Lord's shed blood.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are spared to the onset of a new year and found in thy house here in this hallowed hour, this time that we can come apart from the world and give thee thanks for the life that we have, because we come to a Savior who is, who has been, who ever will be,
yes,
our Savior. We thank thee, Lord, for the fact that thou art the same yesterday, yeah, today, and forever. Lord, we thank thee for the fact that thou changest not. But yet, Lord, we are all spiritually alive this morning because thou hast conquered Satan, sin, death for us. Thou hast taken the judgment, the punishment of our sins upon thyself. Lord, we are again reminded, as we're about to partake of this element that reminds us of thy blood, thy precious blood that was shed for us. Thou hast loved us, thou hast died for us, thou hast paid the price of our sin, thou hast set us free. Lord, thou hast been a curse for us. Lord, how can we not give thee our thanks as much as humanly possible, Lord? Help us never to take this thing for granted.
Yes.
But, Lord, that we are alive spiritually because thou hast conquered for us and thou hast set us free. And so we thank thee, Lord, again for this time that we can pour out our hearts in thanksgiving to thee. Help us, Lord, to be careful to give thee the honor and the glory, as we've been reminded again this morning, Lord, that thou art deserving of,
yes,
everything. And Lord, yeah, we pray that thou wilt help us then to order our lives, to bring glory to thy name, and to reflect Christ to others. And Lord, take us even to our homes today in the strength of this. And Lord, as we give thee thanks again for shedding thy blood for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Drink all of it. Father, in the simplicity of this action that we have done today, in obedience to your word, we are asking, Lord, that you would bless us and that we would go forward in the joy and strength of all that this means. Please help us, Lord. We desire to worship with our hearts. We desire to give to the Lord the glory due unto his name. And therefore, help us each one. We might rejoice and be strengthened with might in the inner man, and that we'll go forward conquering and to conquer. Help us to live in the light of the soon coming of our Lord Jesus, and to live each day with an expectation that our redemption draws nigh. Bless us today. Bring us back again to your house tonight in the joy and expectancy of our Lord Jesus. We ask in his precious name. Amen.